Welcome to episode 90 of the Better With Running podcast. I'm Zachary Newman, Run to BB coach and marathoner. And alongside me, as always, in the co-host chair is Chris Armstrong, also a Run to BB coach. This weekend, he's making his debut as a Bendigo bat. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Good to be here, mate. Probably the most hyped Division 7 debut of all time, but that's okay. Good to be here, mate. I think we've got a pretty special guest with us tonight.
We have, Chris O. We have a very special guest and someone that's bringing up the IQ between us quite a few a few notches. We have another Run to BB coach. He's a 2-hour-42 marathoner, podiatrist at the Fitzroy Foot and Ankle Clinic, and now she's a mum on the run. Sophie Fitt, welcome to the show, Sophie.
Hi, guys. How are you? It's a very, very flattering introduction for someone who's suffering from sleep deprivation. We'll see about the IQ, but it's lovely to join you both and nice to just be chatting with you.
Yeah, good to have you back on. We were just trying to work out when it was, and we will a bit later we'll do a bit of a catch up on how your training's going. And obviously we've got a pretty big show. We've got our training recaps. We've got Christo's lining up this weekend. I'm lining up at Gel, so we're going to go through that. We've got a round the grounds, big weekend of results to chat through, and we've got a listener question. So yeah, we're going to have a crack at that one. So looking forward to this episode, guys.
Gonna be good.
Chris, why don't we get into your week, mate? Because I noticed you're sharpening up for this weekend. Got the singlet, ready to go for the Bendigo bats.
Yeah, no, ready to go. Andy's giving me the pep talk. So yeah, definitely. Look, it's funny. Just really looking forward to it, but still nervous that, trying something new, still don't fully know what I'm supposed to be doing. But yeah, just, like the kid that turns up to his footy, his first game, he's already in his gear, he's got his boots on. That's probably going to be me on Saturday, turning up a good 90 minutes or 2 hours before I'm meant to be there. So, look, it's a good opportunity to go and experience something new. It should be fun.
Might need the footy boots, looking at the weather. It's meant to be wet.
I was going to ask you about footwear for that, whether you were going to go spikes or shoes, but then I probably second guessed myself and thought, well, you probably just lie to me anyway. So
I'm the wrong person to ask. I'm consulting with a few people, including Sammy, the shoe dog, as to what's the best footwear. And yeah, I'm actually unorganized. I've still got to purchase what I need to get for the weekend.
Last time you ran on grass with Dano, you ran the Alpha Fly. So if it's wet and you roll on those, I don't know.
Yeah, it could be dangerous.
Chris, like an excited little footy play, you need to start wearing your uniform to bed from Thursday night. I think that's how it goes, isn't it?
Oh, geez. Well, probably when I was playing under eights in Tasmania, that there's a fair chance that happened. So I was that kid, but at the moment I've sort of stripped it back to just putting my gear out on the floor next to the bed the night before. So
very good.
Organized.
How good that XCR's back. It's just everything good that represents. It's great.
It's going to be a big, did you, Chris, you were saying it, you counted 300 teams going to be lining up at Gels.
Yeah, just under. And that was in the email. I went and checked the website on Monday and it's like 288 teams have got registered between the men's and ladies, and like with all the juniors as well. So, it's sort of early stages. Cool. And looking forward to getting amongst it.
Yeah. Scary to think that could be the novelty and excitement doesn't drop off, what that means for the tan realize at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Don't secure your park now, people.
Yeah. Right. Be careful. Might be able to, doing that lap with coffee.
Open the MCG up for parking. Yeah. And anyone with a dog, please keep it on a short leash.
Crazy. Yeah.
So, Chriso, what sessions did Coach Andy set for race week?
I guess
we're halfway through it.
Originally, we were looking at 3x3K, and luckily, Andy, while he was still over in Hamburg recovering from his marathon, went and double checked that and went, no, that's not an appropriate session a week out from a race. So he dialed it back for me, and we did a 6x1 minute on, 1 minute off, then like a couple of minute jog recovery into a 14 minute threshold on Saturday. So big focus for this one really was just to try and switch off and go and get the work done. And even like with the watch, put the session in and then just turned it to elapsed time and distance. So I didn't really have any concept of what pace I was doing. Trying to run those 1 minute efforts at about 5K effort, and then the threshold, just whatever, I guess, happened to feel like threshold. So, it was just one of those ones where cruise around, really wanted to come away feeling good. Sort of made a commitment to Anna that on the Sunday that I'd do her Sunday long run session with her. So I just wanted to have a bit of juice left in the legs for that. But just found a nice rhythm on the threshold and rolled that around sort of 3:40s for that. Pulled up, feeling pretty good. Just one of those ones, tick it off, no fuss, not a lot of kudos on Strava, no emojis. So just another one in the books, and looking forward to just trying to freshen up a bit this week now ahead of Saturday. And then Sunday long run went really well. I suppose it was more of a bit of a confidence booster for Anna, get her ready for Great Ocean Road next weekend. So we just did 60 minutes pretty easy in sort of 4:50s, and then a 30 minute kick down at half marathon effort where sort of Anna went around in 4:15s, and sort of just achieved everything that we wanted. So real nice finish to the week. And then the start of this week's been pretty gentle. So just went out for half an hour on Monday, an hour on Tuesday, and had a rest day today. And then, pretty light and easy sort of Thursday, day off Friday, and have a little shakeout Saturday, and hopefully not get lost on the way down to Gels Park on Saturday.
You got a team bus?
Yeah. No, only because it's a good sort of 90 minutes across to Bendigo, whereas in 90 minutes I'd pretty much be at Greensboro if I leave from here. So logistically it's probably a smarter choice to just to drive down. So and then that way I think Nora's got access to the car, hopefully she won't lose her purse this time, and she might go and do a bit of shopping as well. So that's the plan at this stage.
Chris, so have you done AV cross country before this? Because it's that, but this is
The closest one, I guess technically I have done AV where I've gone and I ran the half at Burnley a couple of years ago. But in terms of actual cross country, or even realised that, I was just saying to Zach, the closest exposure I've had to it's the YouTube videos of the highlights. So, it's going to be a bit of an eye-opener for me.
Yeah, oh, it's great. Gels is a great place to start though. You know, I think I don't know what you think, Zach, but I always reckon because it's the two loops, I just feel like that course, it goes really quickly.
It does.
Like it's sort of all a bit like, adrenaline and cortisol and everything, just like so much hype for the first sort of 5 minutes of your leg, and then you kind of settle in, and then before you know it, you've done one lap, and then you know what's to come, and then it sort of hurts a bit the start of the, well, it hurts a lot actually, the start of that second lap. It's a tough course, but it does go quickly. It just seems to sort of fly by. Like before you know it, you're in the start of the second lap, and then once you're at the start of the second lap, you know, it's just kind of grind it through, and then, you know, you're almost home. So it's just blink and you miss it. It's a real feeling I always used to get at Gels.
And that, like that transition where there's, you know, there's so much commotion going on and people getting organized, and you've got a clipboard and you're hoping that your teammate who's gone off to do strides comes back because,
someone's got the number, do that number exchange.
Yeah. And then, like you say, you get out and you do get those first 5 minutes for free, I reckon, because you're just that hyped and you just come out the door, you get going, and then, you settle in. But I always just find with that course and in a relay setting as well, is just gauging your effort so you can just get around without blowing up and going through that first lap and thinking, oh, I don't know how I'm going to last another lap. So it's a, it's a good challenge in terms of learning how you sort of pace yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I reckon, Chris, you will not have time to get anxious. Like,
yeah,
that's going on. Yeah. From the moment the car rolls into the car park, there's just a lot of hype. So, which is a good thing. You know, it'll all just brush by before you even realize. It's good, though. It's great. It's a good course. It's true cross country, I reckon.
It is. What I also like is the aspect that you've got. Obviously, you're running as part of a team. So you have that sort of that buoys you. And then you're out on the course and you've got your teammates that are usually, you know, they've either done their leg and they're jogging around and warming down, and you've just got that support, and other clubs, other runners, you know, will cheer you on. So you don't feel like you're out there alone at all. It's it's a pretty well,
It's actually quite an intimate course.
Yeah. It's quite tight. There's a few little, switchbacks and things like that where you just sort of, get close to the action.
Yeah, you'll enjoy it, Chris. You really enjoy it. I think you'll do really well.
Oh, thanks, mate. I suppose asking for a friend, any tips for any first timers who might be heading along?
Oh, Zacha, he's
I don't trust him this week, that's all.
Nah, I reckon what I was mentioning about just that effort is like just not getting too caught up in that adrenaline at the start and really going out, because you actually go, I haven't actually looked at the course, but
I was gonna say up the hill or down the hill.
Yeah, well, I feel like you know what,
the last few years
have blurred into, you know, one, but I'm pretty sure we went up, so either way, yeah, the start, you're full of adrenaline, you go out hard, but you've got to keep your head, because that's my big tip, is just to maybe look at, you know, you want to be that K4 to 5, you want to be able to get rolling and sort of, because that's where you can do some damage and start to pick up people that have gone out too hard, and then that last K you'll find a way to get there, because you can just sort of, you can smell the home, the finish line. And I think that's the key, is getting through that 3K ready to go again, 4 to 5.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. That's good advice. I just reckon after 4 to 5 minutes, like 4 to 5 minutes in, just focus purely on settling yourself down. Just settle it and just cruise for a bit, and then even try and think about an even split, really.
Yeah.
Not many people negative split the old Gels Park, but if you aim even, you're probably not going to come up too much of a positive.
That is true. And if Stewie McSwain comes by, just here's a tip, just try and hang on to him.
Latch on.
Just tuck in.
See how long we can go.
Tuck in and try not to,
finalist.
Try not to get blown over in the blow by as he goes past. So.
Yeah. It is cool just having so many people around the course at the same time of all abilities. It's awesome.
Now, your week, Zachy, you the time trial.
Yes, the time trial went down.
How'd it go?
Park run. Didn't have my barcode in the end. I didn't consult you to get it on my watch, Chris.
No barcode, no result, mate, apparently.
Yeah. So I did go through the line, and then the lovely lady just said, I had to
come back.
Yeah, pretty much got banned from the park run.
She said you're a volunteer for
that. I gave it to the bloke behind me and said he can have it. So But it was fun. It was a good, obviously Melbourne Uni were using it as a bit of a trial, slash just a season launch get together.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's a good way to do it. Like, you know, we've got different training groups that are at different times. So we do know how other people are tracking, but it's also just good to get everyone together and all warm up together. It's a pretty, pretty friendly park run. So we did take it over, though. We had about 22, 23 people, and I reckon we took out the first 15. So we'll take so that.
You would have missed my girl, Amy. She wouldn't have, Amy McCormick wouldn't have come down, because I think she's just recovering from COVID.
Yeah, she's not on the list. So we'll we'll get her later in the season.
Yeah, you'll definitely get her probably next round, but this is a run to PB athlete and Chris knows her well, my girl Amy. Yeah, she's had COVID. She's also a doctor at the Alfred, so she's got her hands full. But yeah, when she messaged me today and said no gels, I was like, well, you took the words out of my mouth because I wasn't really encouraging ISO to Gels Park. But anyway, no, you've got certainly got a good squad down there. As a would have been
good
great
fun, one. Yeah. And you know, some people I've been, some of the guys I've been doing workouts with on Tuesdays, and we've been talking about that for the last few weeks, Chris. So it's good to sort of test each other over, I guess, a race setting.
Nice. And what'd you run?
I ran 16:45.
Good.
Yeah, so it's, look, I, on the show last week, I was sort of talking 16:30 to 16 minutes. I really didn't know where I was at.
Yep.
I thought I was probably going a bit better than that, but like I got out in the first K and I was like, hey, and we were sort of, I was on that, just on the back of the first group of our Divi 1 guys, your Isaac Hockey, who's returned, who's, you know, he was just cruising. I think he'd had a few, he said after, which made me feel a bit worse, that he'd had a few cheeky beers and a fireball at 10:30 the night before. So, and he knocked out like a 15:40 puck.
That is rude.
Yeah. I should say Isaac, run to BB coach, but getting a good example. But no, he is so talented. You know, he's a 3:38 guy. So 15:45 for 5K just cruising for him. But yes, I hanged on the back of them, and first K, I only saw the split after. I felt like we were going solid, and turned out to be 3:13, and then got to the corner and I was just like, oh, this is actually feeling a bit hard. I kind of just sunk back into almost that training feel mode. Like I did, I don't know, I was trying to reason with myself about it post race, that and I did so much work over the last few years just at marathon pace, and I'm doing a lot of stuff, you know, I guess I was at target marathon pace, and I've been obviously getting on the track trying to get the wheels going, but I just feel like I just always sink back to those 325s, 320s. And that's what happened there. And yeah, had a rough patch and I was just like, yeah, this I'm pushing here, but the legs can't go any faster. Yeah. And fortunately I had Kiwi Steve, who's a new recruit. He was doing a tempo and he, I sort of worked with him. And then I felt like I got my legs back probably at 3.5K and started to get going again. And I guess having that group ahead and a few people sort of fracturing off the back, I could start to sort of focus on them and maybe take the focus off how I was feeling. And that did help. Finished in, I mean, I had 3:22, I think, K4, and then, yeah, 3:24. So good to just go under that duress, like go under that sort of race feels, especially leading into gels, because it's going to be the same kind of feeling this weekend. But yeah, look, it's I think that's what a time trial or an effort like that, it does, it's a reality check of kind of where you're at, and yeah. I'm okay with that. I think that's just where I'm at, and that's a good baseline, and I think I can still move forward from there with, you know, gels and just stacking on the weeks. So good to sort of just see where I'm at.
Yeah. Blow the cobwebs out is such a good saying. Like, yeah. And it really is what you do. You just literally blow out some cobwebs and you're always better that next effort. And for you, that'll be this weekend. So you're always better for it, I reckon.
I think so. And I mean, look, sometimes I think maybe as an athlete it's getting a little bit older, the cobwebs stay around for a few more, a bit longer. But
you just need a little bit more heavy duty blowing.
Yeah. But
need a full loop blower.
Yeah. Exactly. Get that industrial strength one. But that's all right. Like, I mean, and to be, you know, and I finished and I was like, look, I'm just happy to be, you know,
absolutely.
It's what it is. Like, we, and you know, there was discussion on our Sunday long run the next day about PBs and just runners, and by nature we complain not complain, but we get a bit emotional about our runs. And then if we look back and we go, hang on, like we should just be happy where we're at. And
absolutely.
Sure. Yeah. It's a balancing act because, you know, if we're happy, you probably wouldn't have gone to the Sunday run. Like you've got to keep going at it. But so all in all, good Saturday morning. And then, backed it up. And actually the Sunday long run, I think everyone was pumped after that weekend of that park run. And it showed, I was sort of hanging on for life at the end. 4:09 for 23K. So, and I'll blame Kelly Thackeray for that because she hadn't run with us for a couple of weeks. And we were all talking about how we're getting ready for Gels and she's doing the Diamond League in Birmingham in about 3 weeks' time. So
I think for prestige, it's kind of same.
Really. Yeah, that's what we said. I mean, it's much of a muchness, really.
Yeah.
And Isaac was back out there cruising, not complaining, no hangover this time. So it was a good one.
Would you have wanted to roll around 4:09? Like, that seems sort of, did she get moving?
No, we've actually been sitting at these Yarra Flat Sunday runs about 4:15s.
Wow.
20s on a slow day, but so it's been solid Sunday long runs.
You can get rolling down there. It is. Can. And I actually think the very slight undulations kind of enhance that a little bit. Like it's pancakes, sometimes you do get into a bit of a rut. But when you sort of roll up and down, and I think and it's a very slight undulations, but I reckon that's what enhances some of those quicker long runs out that way.
Yeah, and the group effect. Everyone's just up and about, and good run, and still not absolutely pushing it, but any quicker it might be a little bit gray zone stuff. And then finally, Chris, I was out at the zoo last night doing some zoo reps for the Melbourne Uni crew, which is basically just a loop around the perimeter of the Melbourne Zoo, outside of it, obviously not in the zoo. And fun. It's a tricky little loop for me. I'd done it years ago. And look, Maxi sets the session, and I did see it come up, and I was on the fence because I did know that it's actually a dark area, and it's the lighting, it's not too bad in some sections, but with my eyesight I just struggle a bit with it, and I was had to be a bit cautious because, and I also had the bloody alpha flies on, Chris, and that was causing all kinds of issues because you go on different surfaces, you go up and down over sort of through some car, like a car park, and change into the bike park and then onto a gravel. So, and alphas like that just don't respond well with a small dip in a road or dip in a path. So I ended up just slightly altering the workout, running a bit more on the road, and got it done. I think they're about 1.8K, maybe 1.7K. I think it was 3:26s, so solid enough, and a couple of grinding hills in there, so good practice for Gels.
Yeah. Do you go clockwise or anti? I'm just trying to picture it.
Clockwise.
Okay, so you go up that big hill where the oval is on your left, and then it flattens out, and then you've got the railway line on your right, but you stay left.
Yes, you go up past the hockey centre, up that hill.
Yeah,
so you get to get downhill start, and then you work back up that hill.
I think Vigor, like the Collingwood group, Laney and Jin Maloney's group, they used to do those zoo, whether they did a loop or just the hill reps, just that zoo circuit. I know that was a favourite of theirs. Not sure if you ever saw them out running, but
I do see them. They're often at Princes Park and all good. Got through it, and another Wednesday run in the bank, and just back for just some easy running now, and freshen up for the relays.
Brilliant, very good.
So Zach, just going back to your park run, because that was your first hit out since the marathon in December. So in 5 months, which decent stretch, obviously. Need a bit of downtime after the marathon, but as experienced as you are, just having that 5 month break between hit outs, did you find it a really good refresher just to, as I said, blow some cobwebs out, but, just to try and get a bit of a reminder what the routine's all about? And is there anything that you'll sort of tweak slightly ahead of this weekend, because you have had that hit out and sort of a bit of a refresh?
Mm. Yeah, you're right. I don't think I have actually done anything in the last 5 months. Yeah, you say that. I've done some workouts, but yeah, they probably felt like races. But yeah, you're right. Like, just getting back to those routines, and I was trying to conscious of trying to do that. I'll keep it pretty similar to Joel's. But I think, yeah, probably the more is just, learning to fight on a bit more and box on in terms of that race day versus a training workout. Whereas I was probably in the mindset of like, oh, it's just a strong rep, or there's another rep. Whereas I think in that race day, you've got to be able to go to that level where it's like, oh, I'm going to leave it out there. So that's probably the key thing I'm trying to remind myself. And I think that was a good test and a good practice again, doing that at the park run.
Yeah, I think what'll probably do you some good this weekend is that you'll be running against faces that you haven't seen for a while, whereas with the training group, it's been, every Tuesday, every Sunday, and it's sort of, I suppose I find I typically don't want to put my mates to the sword, and usually I don't get a say in it, they give me a touch up, but but that sort of competitive fire isn't quite the same when you're surrounded by your mates versus when
it's there.
Imagine on is there bragging rights. But the motivation levels might be a bit higher this weekend when you pull the singlet on and you actually, you're competing for points and racing against different colours, and there's a few rivalries out there.
Yeah, if there's a bat singlet ahead, then
tell you what, mate, if I get pushed over in the mud, we're gonna have words.
I can't push over many things, so you'll be safe.
Oh, that's good.
So
yeah,
let's do a bit of a catch up. So been a while.
What have you been doing for the last 4.5 years?
How about you take us back to running? Do you want to talk about how much you ran during pregnancy or
leading? Yeah, sure. Yeah, no, I can
maybe how that went.
Yep. So let me think. So 2020 kind of just was what it was, that was that. And that, didn't get obviously any racing opportunities, which same could be said for everyone, I guess. And then the start of 2021, I fell pregnant with our daughter Mabel, who's now 6 months old. And I had a really great pregnancy. I actually loved all the stages of pregnancy. I really embraced it. It's obviously a different thing for every woman, but pregnancy was just a really happy time in my life. It was a very, very planned pregnancy, and it was, I was just so happy to be pregnant and just so curious about it all, just everything about it. It's really such an incredible thing to go through. The first trimester, which is, for a lot of women where they experience the most sort of sickness, I wasn't really sick in terms of feeling nauseous and vomiting and whatnot, but I was just really lethargic, so tired. Women describe it as a 24-hour hangover. I actually think it felt more to me the way you feel when you got off a long-haul flight but you haven't slept. And you're just knackered, you're just so lethargic. I don't feel hungover when I get off the plane. I just feel really flat and lethargic. And I had quite a bit of that in the first trimester, but not really the nausea and vomiting. So I was quite functional, but just really just tired and just really blah, that's that blah feeling. So I would just take it day by day in terms of what activity I wanted to do. I used to try and get out and do something. And obviously you don't have much of a belly, so you don't sort of have the physical limitations. And I just get up, put my exercise gear on, go downstairs and I'd literally almost decide in about a minute or two. I either felt like going for a jog or I felt like walking, and I'd just do whatever I felt like. Mm. If it was a jog, it was, I didn't do any workouts. Like I just didn't feel like it. I never thought about doing sessions. I just jog at probably, I don't know, 5 minute to 5:30 per K pace, I guess. And I always just put in walk breaks. So I had a fantastic obstetrician who really understood me and understood my, you know, where I'd come from a, you know, from a training perspective. And, you know, guidelines are really important, obviously, and they govern best practice. But, you know, it is so important to adapt things to an individual patient. And I had really great advice around what I could do as a distance runner. So I did wear a heart rate monitor on her recommendation, but I wasn't really like checking it all the time. I just really went to feel, and because I took a lot of walk breaks, I never really had to worry about my heart rate zone. So first trimester was literally just whatever I felt like doing, kind of just day by day. Second trimester is the lovely patch where your hormones kind of plateau a little bit and you just feel heaps better. Like, and that was what happened with me. So I just felt heaps better. And I probably ran most days, I think.
Okay.
My biggest frustration was that the swimming pools were all closed, and I love swimming. Like, I know a lot of distance runners hate it, but I love swimming. So not being able to swim was just a bummer. Really felt a bit of a bummer. But anyway, I still didn't probably run, let me think, I didn't run for more than probably 40 minutes at a time, but managed, like I did do some good, just really easy jogging throughout the second trimester. And then the third trimester, you're starting to get like the belly there and it's sort of, it's a little bit more uncomfortable. And I was really acutely aware of some of the issues that you might experience would include like SIJ. So the sacroiliac joint becomes very sort of, there's a lot of movement within your SIJ, which is not ideal. You can have some pubic symphysis pain. So right down in your pelvis, it's like just hurts a lot. Mm-hmm. And I really didn't want to have any physical pain for obvious reasons, but I just didn't want to. So, and I fortunately didn't have any pain whatsoever, which is just was awesome. You do feel, because the baby's obviously, you've got the baby, the placenta, your uterus is quite big, the fluid, it's there's a lot of weight on your bladder and just everything. And it just got to the point around, I can't remember if it was about 34 weeks maybe, I was just uncomfortable. Like I was so distracted about when I'd next go to the toilet, and you don't even need to go to the toilet, but it feels like you need to go to the toilet. And it's and one day I was out doing a walk jog. I remember where I was. It was Richmond Boulevard, and I just went, when it got into a walk break, and I was just like, that's it, I'm just done, I'm done running. And I was just like that, and I was not disappointed or I was just like, I just don't want to run anymore.
Yeah.
And so for the rest of the pregnancy, I walked every day. I was doing Pilates guided by a women's health physiotherapist, which I think is really, really important for women. So all in all, like from a physical, from what I was able to do physically throughout, it was terrific. Like I feel really happy with what I managed. I know a lot of women can do more and that's great for them. And, you know, some people can't do as much as I did. So I think you've got to shut down any sort of comparisons or preconceived ideas or she did this or whatnot. You've just got to go with, you know, whatever your body allows and what you want to do. And then I took 6 weeks off after having Mabel. And then after I saw my obstetrician and the women's health physios, I just knew I was in a place where I could start, you know, exercising again. I was walking because I was allowed to walk after her birth. It's different, a vaginal delivery versus cesarean section. So I had a vaginal delivery, so there was no sort of suture scar lines or anything like that. So it can be different depending on your mode of delivery. Mm-hmm. So that sort of put me more in that, could start back a little bit quicker. I don't know if that's the right way to put it, but I wouldn't have started back if I'd had an invasive abdominal surgery. And then got the go ahead from the professionals and then just started back really gently and easily just before Christmas. And it's been really good. Like I've just had a really good, consistent, what's it been? 5 months. Yeah. But just under 5 months of training, which that feels like it has gone really quickly, but, I feel like pregnancy to me was a really good circuit breaker. Like I just think I needed that. I think I was getting stale. I reckon I was just getting stale. And to combat that, I probably would have or should have needed, well, I needed probably 3 to 6 months of drastically reduced mileage. And if I didn't have a pregnancy, I never would have taken that. No matter what I thought I or knew I needed, I never would have taken that. And I reckon as a runner, I got to the point in my sort of running lifespan, whatever you call it, and I think I was stale. And I think pregnancy has been a really great circuit breaker for me. And I feel fresh. Like I feel really good coming back. I've clocked 100K, about 110 last week and 100K a week, the previous two or three and probably three or four. And I'm running every day, no doubles, one long run, two workouts and a few jogs. And yeah, I feel really good. Like, I mean, not like anything, there's no top end or anything special. There's nothing glamorous, but it's just come back so easily. So it's exciting. Like, I'm not sure what this will catapult me towards, but I just had absolutely no idea what this year was going to look like. I had no idea. And I kind of made peace with the fact if I could run, have no abdomo-pelvic region issues and just feel good, then that would be a bonus. And to think that I might be able to get back to faster than I ever was, I'm pretty excited if I can do that.
For you, so since having Mabel and I'm just starting to get back into running, and you mentioned just having that reset where you had that time off, do you find yourself like running now, has your outlook changed a bit where it's now a bit more purely for the love and the fun of it, or is it still sort of training in the back of your mind that it's that performance aspect that you're still really sort of motivated to go out and see what your body can do and test yourself?
Yeah, good question, Chris. I reckon, I hate to be all cliche, there is just the gratitude that I can do it, like that she's happy, you know, she can be fed, go back to bed, I've got a window. My husband's really supportive of it. And I'm just like my feet hit the pavement outside and I'm like, oh yes, I'm so happy.
How good is it?
Oh, yeah. So good. And I've never carried a phone with me before because I don't listen to anything when I run. And
not even us.
Well, there's obviously an exception to every rule. The promise to Josh is that I'll have my phone on me now. And because this is an exclusively breastfed baby who doesn't take a bottle, so I have to be contactable. But when I'm like 3/4 of the way, and look, he never contacts me, you know, that's the bottom line. But when I'm like 7/8 of the way through the run and I haven't been contacted, like I'm just so happy. Like I'm so grateful that I got to go for a run and no one bothered me. And I don't have mum guilt. Like I'm not out there going, I should be home with my baby. And no, she's fine. Like she's totally fine. She's got a dad and she was fed before I left and she'll be fed when I get home. And this is something I want to do. And so in one aspect to answer your question, like there is really just, it's a redefined sort of love of it. But I would be lying if I said it's all just about sunshine and butterflies and gratitude. Like now that I've got a sniff just from doing a few sessions and realizing I'm not done. I'm certainly thinking about, I wonder what I could do if I put down 4 months of training. So it's a bit of both. But I think I'm really trying to promise myself I would be at peace with the idea that, look, if winter doesn't quite go to plan, like let's say I do get an injury or just I can't string the training together, I'll be at peace if I can't hit the performance marks that I want to hit. I'll be okay with that, but I'm not just out there just smiling and, gratitude all the way. Like my mind has switched a little bit to the performance side of things as well. So it's a bit of both.
You've obviously got some very highly credentialed friends who've had bubs that sort of tend to run pretty well. Have they, without name dropping, but have they passed on sort of any bits of wisdom that you've found really valuable in your return so far?
Yeah, for sure. Like I just look at what they are managing and, it's women in Australia, it's women overseas. I was having this conversation just this morning with Sarah Jaya, how do I pronounce her surname?
JMR.
I know we're stopping on this podcast. She's been on the podcast. She's one of Matt Davies' athletes, run to PB, absolute superstar, best chick. We're training a bit together. And I was saying to her just this morning, watching all these women, it's so great for women in their 20s to realize that, you know, your 20s aren't really your glory days. I mean, enjoy it, but you've got so long, and no one has to retire from running to have children. And it's really just, there's this wave of like, this is now what happens. Like you have a baby and you keep running. So to your question, it's really just observing how they've done it. And I think if anything, I've really taken from them kind of just the patience, more patience. Like I've seen the likes of say Jess and Eloise, who have had some tricky injuries to navigate off the back of pregnancy, but realizing that just because you've had a baby and you've come back, you don't have this finite little window that you've just got to squeeze everything into. You can still take your time. You can still be patient. You still got a lot of time. Like I think women are always thinking about clocks and, you know, windows, and, you know, there's sort of just this like awful time thing that's always in our mind. And those women have just all been patient with their return. And then within, you know, once they've come back and hit big goals and, you know, achievements, they're still patient with whatever trouble, you know, or whatever obstacles get thrown in their way. And that's sort of the nicest thing for me to observe, is just this, you know, overwhelming patience and acceptance, and your priorities and perspective on things does shift a lot, and you realize what actually really does matter and what's important. And that really helps with navigating, you know, any issues or challenges. So I've just loved watching how calm they all are off the back of having a baby, and just going, oh well, it is what it is. And you know, you look at sort of, again, I'll use Jess and Eloise as an example, who had run at say London and Rio in the Olympics and then didn't make Tokyo, and that's okay. Like they just took it in their stride, you know, and that's knowing that just because they've had a baby, and Eloise, that's two babies, there will be more opportunities, there's other things to come up, not rushing the process, not getting greedy, not worrying about, you know, a finite window or anything, and just riding the journey and riding the wave kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a sustainable approach too, like just that long-term view and being patient. We Chris and I talk about it, but where, you know, this is from a completely different angle, where you're going, well, this is, yeah, let's, it, I couldn't imagine what it's like to have that, almost that perceived pressure of these time clocks over you. And I think it's like you touched on that example that these women are showing, yourself included, that you know you don't need to rush these things, and you can you know, in your 20s and whatever, it's not all over if you have a kid, that you can see the results. I mean, they're running faster than they ever have.
It's crazy. I know. And it's just so, and it's women overseas as well. Like Molly Huddle's just had a baby. Like I can't wait to see what she does when she comes back. And I just, it's so sad to think women, maybe even just in the 90s, you know, I can't imagine how many elite or sub-elite women or recreational runners, but like imagine if they thought they had to stop running to have a baby and that was it. And then they just never, maybe they never tried to come back because they didn't know how, or they hadn't, there was no role model. Like I can easily see how a woman would have thought, well, I can't come back. Like I'm a mum now. Like, perhaps they got some really outdated information or guidelines or advice around, you know, you can't come back to, you know, high level training after you've had a baby. And I'm sure that information was out there once upon a time, because once upon a time they said women couldn't run more than 800 meters. So there's been some twisted advice out there in the past, but of course it wasn't, you know, but you only knew what you knew. But yeah, it's exciting. It's a great time to be running and have so many great role models. And recreational women, women who run at a recreational level are just as inspiring in their journeys back, you know, if they're managing family, career, etc. There are so many possibilities because you surround yourself with a great care team who understand you and they will support you and guide you and you get well looked after and you can do anything. You know, it's fantastic.
So as a coach as well, how has it changed? Has it changed your outlook at all? I know you coach a lot of mums as well, and now you're in that position. Has it kind of tinkered maybe how you think even further as a coach?
Yeah, anyone who's got more than one child and works more than 2 days, I'm like, as I'm writing their program, I'm literally like, it is such a hard time. It's the time. You know, you're not getting as much sleep, rest and recovery. I probably am more so than I used to. And I used to factor in rest, recovery, downtime a lot as from a clinical perspective. So just understanding, you know, tissue stress, the tissue stress model and recovery from that perspective, that's always what I really, that's how I thought about rest and recovery in a training plan. And now I think of it a lot more in terms of lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And I probably didn't think like that before having a baby because it's all about me really. So yeah, I probably respect more and enhance, sort of emphasize more the need for rest and recovery and building that into programs. So perhaps my athletes are getting a bit less on their plans just because now I'm like fully respecting. And, you know, we say it a lot in different ways, but the body doesn't know where stress is coming from. Mm. So whether it's hill reps or whether it's a huge day at work, stress is stress. Mm. And probably appreciating more how, life with children or babies, young babies, whatever, really is an added stress and needs to be totally respected. I think that's probably because now I have a little bit more, obviously a bit of experience. And so I think about that a lot more when I'm doing programs, I reckon. And that's not just for women. I mean, that's for guys as well.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, like I've just had this, you know, catastrophic event thrown in and now I've just got a slightly shifted perspective. Yeah.
Love it. No, that's fantastic. I'm sure your athletes are very lucky to have you as a coach.
They're a good group.
So moving along, we're going to have a chat about some of the results over the weekend. And you might have had a couple of athletes going around, Christo, at the O'Keefe Challenge.
Yeah, and I had had a few, actually. So Chris and Chelsea Nicholson run in the 10K. So Chris went round and thinking maybe the course might have been a touch, just a fraction short, but Chris O ran around in 42:38 for his 10K and his wife Chelsea just on 63 minutes for her 10K, which they're both really happy with how they did, enjoyed the day, really good atmosphere. Nigel Preston over there in Bendigo looks after
fellow bat
there. Yeah, fellow Bendigo bat. Shout out to Nigel, but yeah, did a fantastic job with the event there. And lots of, I know Chris and Chelsea have been going over there for the last few years, but yeah, good atmosphere. And
sorry, Chris, have you run on the trail? So it's in, we're talking Victoria, Heathcote.
Yeah, Heathcote. I mean, Heathcote for the 10K, but yeah, just along the trail there. I've done the half marathon. 1 year remember Brady told me that it was relatively flat and it was uphill the whole way, so
it sounds like it was, Brady.
Yeah. Yeah, even he ran the half that year. He goes, I don't remember it being that steep, but it was supposed to be a progressive kick down that day and I just progressively blew up as the run went on. But but also had Tom Hyde make his marathon debut.
Awesome.
Which Tom, I've been working with Tom since the start of the year. And, you know, we started out literally just from doing sort of 15 to 20K a week and built him up to get into the marathon. And it was just a massive learning experience for him. You know, we talk about how there's not really too much that can prepare you or that you can quite convey to someone to help them understand what that last sort of 12 to 14 kilometers is like. And and Tom definitely got some firsthand experience in the challenges of what the marathon can do. So went round in 4.5 hours and went through some stomach cramps and some leg cramps and a little bit of projectile vomiting at the finish line. And he's pulled up okay and he's all right. But yeah, definitely a newfound respect for the challenges that the distance itself can have. So he's in recovery mode at the moment, but all things going to plan, we'll try and do the run Melbourne half marathon and then get him back up and about for the Melbourne marathon and see if we can't put a few of the things that he's learnt into practice and have a more positive experience this time around in terms of how the body feels through the duration of the run.
Mm. I was going to say, Chris, that O'Keefe's a great debut marathon place, you know, lower key, you know, it's a more of a community vibe than that intimidating Melbourne or, you know, Sydney where there's just so much going on. You can really enjoy that first experience. So
yeah,
it could be better for that one.
I think the nature of it being sort of mostly trail takes that element out of being worried about a time as well, that you can sort of try and stick a bit more to the process. So yeah, and it's like I guess if parkrun ever evolved into a marathon, I think this is probably the best way to describe the O'Keefe Challenge. And it's just, as you said, it does have that real community vibe.
So what does the winner go around in?
Good question.
Jamie Cook, I think he's won it a few times.
Jamie took it out on the weekend.
Beast.
Not sure the official time.
I feel like it was 2:30 low, maybe.
Yeah, Julian's the Moose. Julian Spence is a past winner at the marathon.
Oh, there you go.
So, yeah, sort of, and I think the year he won it would around sort of mid 2:30s.
Okay.
Thereabouts.
Yeah.
So
solid enough. Yeah.
Is Jamie one of your? Is he a bat?
Yeah, he is now.
Not a bat. Yeah.
Yeah,
they're everywhere.
Heading around in, and you know. To give the bats a plug, I didn't realize this was going to be a Bendigo Bats podcast, but
because the bats really need a plug because they don't get
not enough publicity for the
Bendigo. No, well, you know, it's not, they don't have their own Instagram page or anything, but at Bendigo Bats, but Beast Jamie's running around in Division 4 this week, such as the depth. Oh, so
wow,
I suppose only a week from
week on marathon.
But he's getting around in the Divi 4 team, but a bit of it, I don't know if this has been announced anywhere else, but Andy's going to suit up. Andy's ready to go. Ooh, for
that's an exclusive. I just keep seeing pictures of him drinking beer in Germany, so, or Austria, or I mean, so interesting. I think
he'll be on a charter flight back and to land just outside
Germany Airways.
I believe we'll touch down at Tullamarine at about 8 o'clock Saturday morning. So no, I think Andy, he has done a couple of jogs. He's back at school this week. So, very much looking forward to seeing the great man and what he can do on the weekend.
Very Liam Adams-esque, that one.
Yes.
Mm. Anyway.
Enough bat chat because, you know, they've got their own podcast, Chriso. But just getting back to because I just wanted to touch on a couple of half results because actually, well, we do have to mention another bat, Brady's athlete, Luke Crammery, 115. Crammer's got silver, on the podium. So that's a cracking run from him.
That's very solid. Yeah, if it's trail, far out.
No, that's a great
run. I imagine if you're running 115, you're probably out on your own.
Yeah, I think he would have been in no man's land for a bit there. So, yeah, cracking run from Luke. And a couple more, 2 PBs in the half. Matty Grange, coached by Andy Buchanan, I believe, hour 28. And one of my athletes, Travis Moore, 145.07. This is a big PB from Travis. So I was really stoked. I put in the I put him in his race plan and he kind of was like, oh, you think I can actually run that fast? And I said, yeah, well, let's have a crack at it. We'll see what happens. And it was 20 minutes quicker than his last half and a 10-minute PB. So
good.
Yeah, I was just pumped to see that. And yeah, he was sort of in his race report said he was strong till 19K, and then the last couple of Ks started to go backwards. But yeah, that's pretty much a good half when you get to 19K and you're just hanging on for the last one or two K. So he's got a big week. So he's going into gels for the Richmond Tigers. He's going around for them, and then the Great Ocean Road half after the following week. So we're just managing this week coming off that. It's funny, he pulled up really well off that half, and I was just messaging him and sort of laughing that it is funny that, you know, how much better you pull up when you run a big PB. So
yeah, for sure.
That's the secret, isn't it?
You don't get lactic acid, do you?
Somehow you just don't. Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to his myotherapist, who's got a big few weeks ahead.
Yeah. keep them in business. Hey, Mornington Peninsula Running Festival down there in Mattress Country.
Yep.
He actually went around in the 10K. He finished third. So, yeah, good signs from him. He's going around in gels. So, but yeah, he had a number of his athletes going around in the 10K and the half. Yeah, some big PVs all across the board. We had in the half, Jacinta Koch. She was 123.51 second in the half on the podium. One of my athletes, Lauren Dust, 132 PV. So, and she's actually, she's in the Gold Coast Marathon block. So this was a good build up race for her. Was sort of really starting to get rolling, and it was windy out there as well. A few people reported back saying it was tough conditions, and she did get some compliments over the hills, and I've been setting some hill workouts, so she was very happy to report back that that is paying off. And she made the Heaps Good Runners IG page, which was probably the biggest highlight of the day for her. Had the merch on and got a story.
Yeah, she could wrap it up now, retire. That's it. Yeah. Done.
But yeah, great stuff from Lauren. Yeah, in the 10K, Mitch Kasibas, 36.51, coached by Gemma. PB for Mitch. Kat Lee, 45.28. Like, it's just, yeah, we'll be here all night if we went through them all, but there were some cracking runs. And it was just so good again to see races again and some PBs dropping.
So good, yeah.
Sydney 10, Chris, did you catch a bit of that? Some fast times going around, and we had one of the young guns we've talked about on the show finish fifth.
Yeah, caught up with a very happy coach on Sunday. It was pretty much as soon as that race finished, the messages were flying around. So Nathan Stoke, 29.30 and fifth overall at Sydney 10K, which, I know we've mentioned it previously, but, you know, as a kid sort of 4 years ago, run around park, run in his soccer kit, run 17 minutes, and here we are. He's taking a trip up to Sydney for the weekend and finishing top five in arguably one of the strongest 10K events on the road in the country. So 29.30 for Nath. He's very excited and pleased with himself. And Archie, Reed also went around in 30.20.
Training partners.
Some bragging rights to Nathan this time, but both outstanding results for the kids. Well, when I say kids, there. Nathan's 23, but yeah, it's young.
How about Sam Jones, recent guest, Wollongong Track Club marquee athlete, 31.19 PB.
Amazing. Oh,
so good. Sam's cracking value, and he's been training so hard, and well deserved that one. And yeah, I know Brady was really pumped when that result came through. So big shout out to Sam and the Wollongong Track Club. Will be very up and about after that run.
Mm. So it's the Sydney Harbour 10K is that one that's a lot more twisty turny, isn't it?
Yeah, this one's at the Olympic Park.
Yeah, right.
Homebush, so it's a pretty quick course.
Big
results there, and I think we've got with Great Ocean Road coming and some Run to BB athletes obviously going to be around at gels, and we'll be more around the grounds next week. I think Chriso and Soph.
Just getting bigger and bigger each week. So. You know, in the obviously there's lots of stuff coming up. You know, getting ready to go to Gold Coast. It's sort of look out. Plenty of PBs on the way.
Running's back.
It is. It's back in a big way. On that, actually, it's probably a good segue, Soph, because we obviously want to get you to put your podiatrist hat on. And probably a topic we want to explore is about the about running events. And there is, we are back, and, you know, and a lot of people took up running, I guess, in COVID times. And now they've got the opportunity to sign up for these events. Are you seeing a spike in new runners, maybe runners preparing for events and maybe struggling to prepare right and hence seeing you?
Yeah, good question. So just let me preface by saying I am only about a month back at work from maternity leave, but I'm in the clinic a few days a week and doing a bit of telehealth. So certainly seeing enough patients to be able to answer the question, but can kind of dip back into even pre-mat leave times. And I think, yeah, it's a good thing to sort of chat about on the podcast because it's sort of such an appropriate audience. But something I sort of see a lot in clinic and you guys would, you know, hear of it as much as I do without having to, without even being in a clinical setting is I just don't think people prepare well enough for events across the board. Like I just think people drastically undertrain. And I think it a little bit comes back to, without being overly critical, I think there's a bit of a disrespect for the marathon distance and the half marathon different distance. It's a little bit sort of dime a dozen. He's doing it, I can do it. She's doing it, I can do it, whatnot. And I just see so often in clinic, and it's conversations with my patients in sort of the history taking part and deep diving into what their training looks like. And then, you know, athletes who sign up to run to PB and various other platforms, or even just conversations with, you know, might be with a family member at Christmas or whatever. And I just think people signing up for endurance events are drastically undertrained. And that can be undertrained in terms of they haven't given themselves the right number of months to properly prepare. And even if they have, the amount of training that they're doing in, you know, any given week really isn't enough to prepare them. And there's probably a lot of, it's a lack of knowledge and understanding of what it takes to layer upon layer and build the years of consistency to establish that high level of conditioning to withstand the stress that, you know, the running involves. But it's, so it's, yeah, it's sort of on those two levels, not giving yourself enough time. I mean, if someone says to me, I want to run a half marathon, how long do I need? Well, I'm saying, well, you want to know, you need 12 months, like you need 2 years. You don't, it's not 6 weeks or 3 months. And if it's a marathon, you need a couple of years of just running before you even think about a marathon. And then once you have thought about a marathon, I'm sorry, but your 30K a week isn't going to cut it. Like you need to run a lot more. And of course, there's the flip side, and there's, you know, we see a lot of overtraining and people doing too much, and absolutely that too much too soon. And that's a whole different conversation. So I'd probably leave that conversation for another day because I don't really want to hear the counter argument to the point I'm trying to make. But yeah, my point sort of I'm honing in on a little bit today from a clinical sense, but definitely as a coach as well, is I think people are desperately under prepared to perform, and aside from the obvious, which is injuries in the lead up and certainly injuries following the event, it does lead to poor performance. And I think it also leads to people dropping out of the sport because they don't actually enjoy it that much and they don't have a positive experience and they throw the towel in. Whereas I think if they had a more measured approach, took the, you know, the long-term view of things and broke it down and trained really intelligently for a long time, they'd actually enjoy it a lot more. And then started thinking about their goals, be it, you know, a 10K for the first time, you know, a half marathon, breaking 3 hours for a marathon, whatever it is. But yeah, just what I see is people doing, you know, a long way from what constitutes enough to properly prepare for a distance running event.
I like the old adage of just getting fit enough to train.
100%.
That takes time. And Chris and I bang on this every week about patience and the long game. And we sound like a broken record at times. But, yeah, I think we're all on the same page here in that, yeah, this running game, you know, we want people to enjoy their running and to do it for a long time. And it's not something you can just, yeah, you lose a bet at the pub and you're going to do a marathon in 4 weeks. And it's just, it's fraught with danger and
you're just
not
going to
enjoy it. And, you know, I get that you want to tick the bucket list, but there is a way to, yeah, and getting back to your point about sort of respecting the distance and, you know, you need to go through the appropriate channels of, you know, getting through the different distances and the training before you embark on it, because yeah, you're not gonna stay in the sport and you're not gonna enjoy it, and you're gonna get injured basically.
I think people have almost completely misunderstood what they're embarking on if they think they can do it quickly, because it makes absolutely no physiological sense. It doesn't really make much practical sense. Like, I think they owe the sport, I mean, we're sort of old school kind of diehards, so of course we're gonna adopt this stance, but like, you owe the sport more respect than to just sort of, and it sort of, you could argue this point extends to even returning from injury and just embracing a different mindset. And certainly I've been forced to do that over the last 6 months, and it hasn't actually been that bad. It's kind of nice just going a bit slower. I mean, it's all I've been able to manage, so it's okay. But just really, if you're going to just adequately prepare for something, and that does mean the long game, and it means getting yourself to a point where you can train enough and then indeed doing a lot of training for what you need, for what you need to achieve your goals.
So if there's one where you can wear both your coach and your podiatrist hat, when you have someone come in and see you, or, you know, might be sit down having a chat where potentially their ambition outweighs their ability, and, you know, in terms of ability, that's not putting people down, it's really sort of reflective of where they're at with their running in terms of the training they've been doing, their injury history, but how do you approach that conversation to try and put them back into, I guess, a space where they can work towards something that they can achieve, but it also helps keep them, I guess, safe in terms of it, you know, both injury free, but I guess out of that cycle where, you know, I suppose you would see with runners when they're injured, we're not probably our best selves as people. From that mental health aspect as well, like how do you, I guess, approach that conversation and steer people around?
Yeah. So I'm a straight shooter at the best of times, and I don't beat around the bush. And I actually have a duty of care towards these people. So I'll only ever direct them, and I'll often preface with, this might not be exactly what you want to hear, but I'll only ever do what's best for you. And then I break it down and just say, this is what you need to do over the next 4 to 6 weeks, regardless of your goal. So disconnect and detach from the idea of doing a half marathon in 3 months. Don't worry about your end goal, because what you need in the next 4 to 6 weeks, and let's just focus on 4 to 6 weeks because that's really all we can kind of control. What you need in the next 4 to 6 weeks is this. And I lay it out in a really clear, succinct plan. And then I say to them, after that, we'll get to what comes after that. And then after, say, 10 weeks, you will know if it's appropriate or not for you to attempt your goal, because you will have done exactly what you need to do from this point. And whether that gets you to the end or not, the decision will be made for you, because you'll either be ready or you won't.
Yeah.
But if you're presenting with Achilles tendinopathy and you're in pain and you can't run as much, well, doing what you need to be able to do to hit that half marathon goal in 3 months is irrelevant if you can only do what your body allows. Yeah. So I break it down and say, well, right now, from a clinical perspective, and I this is exactly how I'd approach an athlete, a run to PB athlete, not someone in my clinic, is I'm saying, this is exactly what you need to do for the next 2 to 4, 4 to 6 weeks to keep you safe for the best opportunity to heal and optimize your performance. And then we'll deal with the next stage when we get to it. And then whatever stage that gets you to, you'll either be there or you won't. So we don't have to make the decision I don't have to be the bearer of bad news right then and there, which is, maybe I've dodged a bullet, but I don't have to tell them right there. In my head, I'm thinking it's unlikely you're going to hit that goal, but it's irrelevant because right now, and sometimes the right now is you need 2 weeks of no running. Like that's what you need, or you don't need to be running 5 days a week. And I know I've just emphasized the point that people don't run enough, but let's just dial back into the idea. They need whatever is the most clinically appropriate or safest physical way to get through the next couple of weeks. And I do break things down into pretty bite-sized chunks. As we all know, a week is a long time in running. Yeah. 2 weeks is a very, very long time. So I don't sort of plan too far ahead. Just give them the next bit, like the best thing for them over this next period. And then we take it stage by stage. And I always say to them, your long-term goal, and long-term might only be sort of the next 3 months or whatever, that decision of what to do will be made for you. You'll make the decision, but you won't have to sit there with a list of pros and cons because you'll be ready or you won't be. And you probably will be at peace with that decision.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, it is as a runner and then as a coach, injuries, it's just, it is a roller coaster to go on, and it can come out of nowhere and you can be running fine one day and then the next day you're you're booking an appointment to a podiatrist or a physio all those emotions, and you can go down rabbit holes and you can end up on a Let's Run forum looking at, I read that this person has, I had a sore leg and then didn't run for 12 months. Like you can do yourself so much damage just not getting too, like you say, bite-sized chunks.
Yeah.
Let's just focus on what we can control. Forget it, it's a really, I like the way you frame that sort of 2 to 4 weeks and
Yeah, I do sort of say try and detach a little bit, because in my head I sort of will have a bit of an idea of what is achievable for that person. And as Chris sort of touched on, is the goal more ambitious than the ability or whatever? And I'll have a bit of an inkling or a gut feeling of what's realistic. And I'm very honest with people and I'll tell them straight up what I think, but, we can only control and set about having an effect on, or a positive effect on, the next short-term frame in front of us, and that's all we can do. So that's all you need to worry about doing. And should you technically be running 20 plus k this Sunday if you're in a marathon block, well, technically maybe you should be, but it's not the best thing for you right now to manage the hand of cards that you've been dealt. So let's just worry about that. But if I do have a pretty strong inkling that the person's ability is not lining up in a realistic manner with what they're aspiring to, I am very honest about that. And I'll give them some really good reasons as to why I think what I think, but then I'll be able to, certainly try my best to say, however, why don't we have a look at this? Why don't you consider that? Let's look at the calendar and pick something else. It's not just like...
You're done.
Let me just explain to you why you might have a little bit overstretched with what you think, and let me explain to you what the next few months will need to look like for you to achieve this unrealistic goal. And let me explain to you why I think this could be fraught with danger and is probably a high risk idea. And let's map out something that's a lot more appropriate for where you're at, and I'll help you through it that way. That's sort of how I try and go about it. But I'm not in the business of mucking people around and promising things, because it's hard to be achieved. And if they turn around and prove me wrong, that's totally fine. But I'm only ever out there to have a positive impact on them.
Well, that's it. I mean, as coaches, health professionals, you know, that team that you're around, that they all want you to
absolutely
get there and do it, but they, it's got to be done in the right, safe manner. And
for sure.
Yeah. It's, I think it's some great points that the listeners will take on board there. Should we move over to this listener question that we got through the week, Chris? Do you want to read that one out?
Yeah, I will. So this one's come through from Vanessa Hope. Thanks, Vanessa. So, hi, guys. So glad the podcast is back. I'm a fan. Awesome. We could leave it there. But I'm 2 weeks out from the Great Ocean Road 23K. Now, I'm a recreational runner who's not run a race since before the COVID lockdowns. Bone stress kept me out of action last year, so from November 21 through to January this year. And only 4 weeks ago, had COVID, where I had to take 10 days off from running. My training plan was adjusted, and now I've got no idea how to form a race plan or pace myself. What would you recommend in terms of a race plan? What training runs can I use to estimate a reasonable race pace? And is there anything I can do in the next 10 days to help me find race pace or give me some confidence? Love your work. Cool.
Good question. Hey, guys, can I just slide out and just quickly check Mabel?
Go for it.
All right, I'll be back in a jiffy. I actually have something to add to this question as well.
Yeah, well.
Question.
Good question. And yes, thank you, Vanessa, for listening in. But yeah, Great Ocean Road, beautiful spot for a run.
I actually don't like that course, but I don't like that run. But a lot of people
I like
do.
That run.
You do?
Yeah.
Good.
I've done the Great Ocean Road half, and I've done the 14K down there.
Nice.
Great Ocean Road. It's beautiful. But look, my thoughts. And just reading into what Vanessa's sort of gone through, you know, from basically that bone stress and then COVID, it's I'd be looking at just enjoying this run and actually taking the focus off it being a race rather than, I know she's asking sort of for a recommended in terms of a race plan, but you know, training runs leading in, you know, I gather she's starting to get rolling again and doing some sessions, but I would see that adding the stress of a race off the back of COVID and what she's been through, I wouldn't be looking at this as something to really dial into in terms of a set pace plan. I'd rather go in there and enjoy it and use it as almost like a beautiful long run with maybe a pickup towards the end if you're feeling good. But even on these training runs, I'd be guided by, like, I've had a number of athletes that have had COVID and it's been so individual as to how they've responded off the back of it. And I've always been really early on the side of caution as to doing workouts and just, you know, if you feel good, let's wait another few days and then just try a progression run and just try to pick up pace a little bit, but not rushing back. And that's my other concern there with kind of cramming in a little bit, because that's how you feel when you've had the 10 days off. You feel like you've got to make up for it. So, yeah, that's kind of my thoughts at the moment, and not sure where you guys are placed.
Yeah, it's a great question, Vanessa, because there have to be a large number of people who could relate to this in some way, even if it's just the COVID part. And even though, let's say it was a goal race for you originally, and a few things have derailed that, and now it's maybe slipped to not being such a goal priority race, you really do have a lot to be proud of if you are uninjured, body's good, and off the back of COVID, you're lining up for a half marathon. That's a lot to be pretty proud of yourself about, especially if you are fully recovered from COVID and you don't have any lingering symptoms, no sort of post-COVID cough going on. So don't lose heart and think that it's a waste of a trip to Lawn or Kennet River, wherever you start. It's not a waste. It's not a waste of an entry. No race is ever a waste. it really, I agree with Zaka, it's a shift in how you sort of in how you are approaching the run, I guess. And I honestly, if you are disciplined enough, I really wouldn't wear a watch. And if you do, put it on time of day, because it really, this absolutely should be all about feel, even from a sort of a health perspective.
Yeah.
Dealing with a respiratory virus, you should absolutely be running well within your within feeling, you know, very, very comfortable. And if zero is sitting on the couch and 10 is like a 400 meter sprint, you know, you probably should be about a 5 at the most, off the back of a respiratory virus. Like, I'd be very, very careful. It's a long way. It's a hard course. And if you promise yourself you feel 100% and you're right to do it, then absolutely all by feel, no race plan, no pacing, just listen to you. Like, listen to your body. Such a stupid thing to say. No one listens actually to their body, but just run well within yourself, because if you've not long had COVID, you can't underestimate the stress your body has gone through and is still going through as you recover. And you don't want to mess with that and overdo things and set yourself back, you know, potentially weeks. So it's a whole different approach off the back of the path you've been on, in my opinion, which is kind of what Zach said, but just really reinforcing that health perspective, I think.
Yeah, no, I agree with both you. I mean, really, the only things that I would add, other than, you know, obviously keep it easy, go and enjoy it, is that probably the week after this run, really use that as a recovery week. Mm-hmm. You know, just have a nice, easy week after this one, and perhaps, you know, use this to, you know, bank some strength from the long run, because there's plenty of good quality hills that you run along Great Ocean Road. But then perhaps, you know, look at something so low key like a park run to go and aim for in maybe a month's time, where you can go and blow a few cobwebs out, and maybe just work through your distances. You know, whether start with a 5, then maybe look to do a 10, and then work back up to the half, where you can pick a bit of confidence up and sort of see how the body is feeling. But good questions, and hopefully you do have a really positive experience at Great Ocean Road next weekend.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, to anyone listening who had COVID, you know, I think it's really important, obviously, to tap in with your coach and that, but whether it's your GP or someone else, like, get that health advice, go and see an expert, because, you know, COVID's not nothing. You know, we're talking at quite a serious respiratory virus here, and as a coach, you know, we, you know, duty of care as well, but we'll only be listening to the feedback you give us about how you feel. You know, we don't know, we're not listening to your breathing, and we don't know how you feel throughout the day and whatnot. And running is so stressful on your body, and you are recovering. So just because you've done your 7 days, I've heard of a lot of people who have struggled a lot, you know, young, fit, healthy people. So yeah, I would urge everyone to just surround yourself with a very professional expert care team who can help you if COVID has been more for you than just a bit of a sniffle. Like, yeah, take it easy, be sensible.
Oh, that's really, really good advice. Well, I think that's us, guys. It's been a cracking show, a lot to cover, and it's been amazing having you back on the air, Soph. So thank you for taking the time out. I know you are super busy, so we appreciate that.
I'm not busy at all, Zach. I'm basically I change nappies all day. It's great. I've got a lot of time on my hands. Thanks for inviting me on. It's been so nice.
It's been great to catch up.
For sure. Good luck at Gels, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. And say, if you've got nothing to do, mate, you could be recurring regular guest Sophie Fit on the podcast coming up.
Yes, definitely. That would be awesome.
No, thanks. Just to echo Zach and Soph, absolutely loved hearing that. I can't believe we get to hear that for free. So thanks for taking your time tonight. And hopefully we'll actually get to all catch up face to face at some point.
Oh, that'd be so good. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe in an AV round.
Yes, I'll be doing, so I'm back in the clinic on a Saturday, so the Saturday races are just going to be tough for me. I might do Ballarat, actually. I might get and then I want to do Albert Park, probably Burnley. I think I'll also do Tanreal. So I might get four or five races in this year for Olds of Variance. I'd like to do that, but I just, Saturday in the clinic is such a good work opportunity for me. And while I'm not like any great cross-country threat at the moment, I will sit a few of the Saturdays out. But the goal is to make a few AV races this year. So that could be the great reunion.
That's good motivation for the reunion, yes.
Lock it in.
Yes. All right, Chris, I will see you out at Gels, mate. So, enjoy the rest of the week.
Yeah, you too, mate. We'll be there bright and early. And, looking forward to catching up. Hopefully even get a warm-up or a cool-down in together too. It'd be really good.
That would be great, mate. Looking forward to it. All righty. We're done.
Thanks, guys.
See ya.
Yeah.